You're listening to Breathe Like a Badass, the podcast for ambitious but anxious women who want to cut through overwhelm, negative self-talk, constant comparison, and fear so that they can get the inner calm, clarity, and focus that they need to build happy, fulfilling, freedom-filled businesses and lives that truly light them up, which is what we all want, right? I'm Hannah, your host, and I am an ENFP. Yes, I can be an extrovert and an introvert almost at the same time. And I live in Southwest London with my coffee, very plentiful supply of chocolate, and my partner Ollie. And I use down-to-earth, science-based meditation techniques to support women like you in creating the successful, fulfilling, and incredible freedom-filled life and business that you deserve. Long story short, I help you to be and love exactly who you are so that you can go out and do the work that you truly love and that really lights you up. In this podcast, I interview some absolutely incredible guests on topics ranging from meditation, mindfulness, habits, the power of routine, how to be kind to yourself and just give yourself a damn break, what it's like when you try things and fail, what it's like when you try things and actually maybe succeed, and how to take all of that hard-won life experience to become more fulfilled women, business owners, partners, friends, parents, or whatever it is that is super important and central to making our lives more meaningful, powerful, and successful, whatever that means to us. This episode of the Breathe Like a Badass podcast was brought to you by my brand new, totally free 90-second quiz called What's Your Inner Critic Identity and Is She Sabotaging Your Business Success? Head on over to take the 90-second totally free quiz and get your personalized guide on exactly how your inner critic might be showing up in your head and, crucially, how to stop her from sabotaging your life and business success. Go to breathelikeabadass.com/innercriticquiz, breathelikeabadass.com/innercriticquiz to take the free quiz now and get your totally free video guide on how to stop sabotaging your success and build a business and life that you truly love. This week, I'm talking to Becky Wong, a remote working digital nomad, currently based in Bansko, Bulgaria. She's also a business manager, freelance writer, and the founder of digital nomad blog, Project Anywhere. Becky started Project Anywhere to champion and support others who are on the road to remote work or running remote businesses. She encourages you to choose your own work adventure and to show the multitude of colorful paths that you could go on, both in your work or in your personal life, that could end up taking you to absolutely anywhere, even in a post-COVID world. In this episode, we cover everything from Becky's journey from a longtime Londoner in the hustle and bustle of the city, working in a stressful but enjoyable 9-to-5 startup job, to becoming a digital nomad, how to even become a digital nomad in the first place, or a remote worker, even if you're still in your 9-to-5 and you've got no idea where to start, how digital nomadism and remote working is changing post-COVID, and why it can still work for everyone, regardless of job, circumstances, income, age, or lifestyle, how to overcome your fear of failure when changing your life, and how to get comfortable with that feeling of uncertainty, what the best co-working communities are, and how to find your people wherever you go and whatever you do, how to make work fit into your life and not the other way around, Becky's own mindset habits that keep her sane and feeling at home no matter where she is, and of course, the joys of mountain views, rescue dogs, and vegan cooking. This conversation was wide-ranging, funny, honest, open, and most importantly, I think, in these difficult times, actually uplifting and hopeful. I hope that it inspires you to go on your very own career adventure, whether that involves planning a post-COVID trip or simply working from home in a way that actually suits you. As you guys know, and as you'll hear on the podcast, I am passionate about making work actually work for you and not being a slave to your desk, presenteeism, and all of that other stuff that comes with a usual, normal corporate 9-to-5 job. I absolutely loved recording this episode. It was so great to catch up with Becky and to hear how she's been getting on despite all of the COVID upheaval that we are so sick of hearing about this year. I really hope you enjoy this episode. As usual, all of the show notes for this episode can be found at my website at breathelikeabadass.com/podcast. Okay, Becky, we're recording. Thank you so much for being here. People will maybe not know, but I interviewed you pre-COVID about you, and as we'll go into, about your work as a digital nomad and as a freelancer and as someone who is usually location independent. But obviously at the moment it's a post-COVID world and people are not traveling as much. So I just thought it would make sense to bring you back onto the show and re-interview now that we're in a different world to the one we were in at the beginning of the year. So thanks so much for your patience and for coming back on. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, doing pretty good, all things considering. thanks for having me again. It's always good to chat and catch up, and yeah, excited to chat again and catch up since it's been a while since we last spoke.
It has. And
quite a few things have changed or not changed.
Quite a few things, yeah. It's been a funny old year, hasn't it? I mean, you know, people are sick of hearing it, but it's true. So the first thing that I want to ask you is something that I've been doing now with my podcast guests, and it always throws up really interesting things, and it doesn't have to be about work or COVID or anything like that, but what are you most obsessed with right now in your life?
That's a good question.
can I just jump in and interrupt you? I'm really sorry, but something that I wanted to ask about that I'm obsessed with about your life, and this is gonna sound weird, but hey, you know, Instagram stalking. Have you been volunteering with puppies in Bulgaria?
Oh, yes.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Made a very good answer, but I guess because it's not every week. And I guess, as you know, I've not been completely available week on week, which we'll probably talk more about later. But there's a charity that was set up during lockdown in Bansko, because there's sadly a lot of street dogs in Bansko. And there was a litter of puppies that were rescued in that, when it all started, but they're rescued, and someone and a kind pair of women based in Bansko set up a little rescue shelter for puppies for, I think there's like 8 of them, but they're so adorable. And we've seen them go from tiny to the huge doggos they are now. So yes, whenever I can, there's been some Sunday mornings that I've spent, and obviously I will snap some pictures and post them on. I love dogs. I think that's just something, dogs are something, as you know, I'm obsessed about dogs in general. So I've been volunteering, helping them out. There's some, you know, non-glamorous things like cleaning up the pen and all those kind of things, but feeding them, keeping them watered and playing with them and taking them for walks. That's something I've been doing on some Sunday mornings along the way in Bansko.
I love that. And I just love your photos. I've been seeing your updates of the puppies every so often on your various social channels. And I just really wanted to ask you about that. So sorry for like jumping in and like giving you your answer. Feel free to add your own answer now that we've chatted about the puppies.
But I think that is a good answer because it's something that I've been obsessed in general. But I guess another one is since lockdown. So I'm based in Bansko in Bulgaria at the moment. And normally, because I work remotely full time, and I base myself and my partner over the last 3 years, we aimed to base ourselves in different places for 3 months at a time, which hasn't been possible this year for notable reasons. But when we realized we were going to stay in Bansko for longer, because we decided to stay in Bansko, we decided to move flats. So I guess if we have to say something the thing that I'm obsessed with right now is probably cooking, but experimenting in the kitchen, because there are I'm vegan and there are options in Bansko, but Bansko is also, Bansko flats are quite, most of them are quite renowned for having small, tiny kitchens. So the thing we were excited about the most about our new flat that we're renting is Yes, it has mountain views, but it has an oven and lots of countertop space. So something what I'm obsessed with my partner at the moment is we've been experimenting with making vegan mac and cheese and vegan cheesecake. So yeah, a lot of, because I find it like a science, you start trying to figure out and look online for recipes and things to figure out different ways to create those same flavors. So we're, that's something I'm obsessed with at the moment.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Not work-related or travel-related, but eating is the other thing that's closest to my heart.
Yeah, totally, totally. 100%. Oh my God, I love that. I love that you're like, well, the mountain views are nice and everything, but actually I'm more excited about the oven. Brilliant. Brilliant. Love it. Yeah, but I mean, vegan cooking is really interesting. Like, I am not even a vegetarian, so I really can't talk, but I mean, I have heard so many amazing kind of substitutes. I mean, coconut yogurt I've had before, which is absolutely delicious. Different kinds of cheeses made with cashews.
Yes, because nutritional, we've got a blender and we're making our own cashew cheese. And we eat so much nutritional yeast flakes.
Nutritional yeast, yeah.
Yeah, sprinkling it on everything to have those similar flavors. But no, it's fun to experiment and have those different flavors and just like eating as well.
Totally. Oh my God. Yeah. It's super creative, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you say it's not travel or work related, but I mean, I always find that half the reason why I love traveling is the food. So it's kind of related.
Yeah. Yes. But I guess also because of lockdown, there was a lot of being stuck inside at home, and there were places doing delivery, but I guess that limited the options of what is already pretty limited in a mountain town, and there are options nearby. But yeah, absolutely agree with you that one of the best things about traveling to different places is seeing the culture, meeting the people, and then eating the food in the local area as well.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. So let's rewind for people that don't know you. I came into contact with you on Instagram. I don't even remember when, sometime last year. And I was attracted to your Instagram because your account that you have, Project Anywhere. And I love that name because to me, it just sort of really spoke to one of the reasons that I started my business and why I want to be kind of more location independent and just do all of my work online and not work kind of a 9-to-5 job. And we'll talk about how all of that stuff is changing post-COVID later, but I saw your Project Anywhere account and you talk about being a digital nomad. So can you just explain what is Project Anywhere and also who you are and how you came to be doing the work that you're doing and leaving your job in London and all of that stuff? Like, give people a context and a background.
Sure, yeah. Let me see where to begin. I'm an ex-Londoner. I lived there for way over 10 years. I used to be a city girl through and through, and I do still have love for London, but I used to be an ex-Londoner. But after quite a few years, I wanted to leave the hustle and bustle, because I left London 3 years ago. I've worked there for over 10 years in various agencies, social enterprises and startups. But 3 years ago, well, on the lead up to 3 years ago, it was almost a toss up of I wanted to have a slower pace. Didn't know for sure what that would look like, but I knew I wanted to slow down in some shape or form. And that could have been, so there were two things that myself and my partner were wanting to do, either, you know, move to the countryside, as a lot of Londoners do. I also wanted to go on a long extended 1 year travel trip. So almost actually my escape from the city, as I call it, started off as a one year of travel sabbatical, really. And also, I guess to put that into context as well, part of wanting to leave London was wanting a change of environment, because similar to what you just said, I always preferred working from home. I was quite lucky in the last few years in London where I worked with companies and organizations that often had a work from home policy where you could work from home once a day, or I was quite client focused. I still am. So a lot of my work meant I had to not global travel, but travel around the UK. So there was a lot of traveling by train, which meant I had to work remotely that way anyway. So I kind of had a taste for We don't need to be in the office. We don't need to be all communicating synchronously, 9 to 5, physically in the same place. I can do my work from, I was in Birmingham a lot at the time, actually, from a different town or city from London. I could do work from the train. I did a lot of my best work from home or even in cafes nearby. I knew the environments that were best for me was moving about. So there was just a need for change. But what started as a 1 year sabbatical travel trip, it turned into discovering and meeting digital nomads along the way, learning about the wider world of working remotely, and also freelancing, actually. All these things I talk about on Project Anywhere, because there's a lot of ways you can dive into the world of being a nomad, location independence, or remote work. I guess for me, that journey was going into freelancing, meeting clients who needed my services, and they happened to be distributed teams as well. And these were all new for me at the time. I didn't know these things existed or were an option. And as I dove into, I guess in that year one of what I call my sabbatical year off, turned into what's now going 3 years of working remotely, being a digital nomad, working across the UK countryside. So that became part of it, house sitting along the way, working in different parts of Europe and Asia. Sometimes it was for reasons of staying with family as well, because that was part of leaving London. We wanted to find a way to spend more time seeing our families who are not based in London. Some of ours are, but the funny thing was that we saw a lot more of our family by doing that. Even my family, who's based in the UK, and now we're sort of paused and slowed down on that note in Bulgaria, as you mentioned, because the world is quite uncertain at the moment. And we were looking to pause a little bit anyway this year, and it was almost like the world chose Bulgaria for us, which we love.
Yeah.
And we're still working remotely and co-working with others who are here at the same time.
Yeah. So initially it was spearheaded by a desire to get out of the office environment and travel more and kind of take your work on the road with you so that you could travel and explore more. But then you decided to, was it that you, because some people, when they imagine digital nomadism, they think, oh, I'm never in one place for more than about 2 weeks, I'm always on the go, I'm living out of a rucksack all the time. But you guys decided eventually that you were going to kind of be a bit slower, and ideally, obviously this year has been different, but ideally kind of live 3 months here, 3 months here, 3 months here. And you travel with your partner, don't you? What was your thinking behind doing that? I mean, obviously we're going to talk about what's going on now, but just to set the scene a bit, why did you decide, so my 1 year sabbatical is now going to turn into kind of like a 3 month by 3 month travel adventure?
I guess it was, I guess for both of us at different times, we came across freelancing opportunities. So my partner, Rod, he was already freelancing anyway before we left London. And there were some projects that continued a little bit into that first year. I guess so for him, he never really, for his side, it was already freelancing in London, not from an office. And I guess, for me as well, I was connected with people, people who eventually became my first clients, who we connected based on similar interests, I guess, because I have a fascinating, very passionate about learning and growth, and learning and development. So I was connected with someone who's a leadership coach. They didn't connect me on the basis of thinking, oh, you should work with them. And then I had similar introductions like that in year one as well. And just on meeting, and as you do, I love talking about hopes and dreams, as like we do as well when we chat. And it turned out that they were looking for someone to help them with running the business behind the scenes, which is, that's what I used to do in London. I launch pilot projects, I run projects, and I also run businesses. So I almost think for me, it was serendipitous that often, I know there's a lot of people out there who really plan it. They think about it for a long time and they plan. I guess for me, it was, I planned so far as I'm leaving London and saved up money with that, handed in my notice, told our told the landlord we're not extending the lease. Because the truth is, we planned as far as we're traveling for a year, and then we'll see what happens after that. And I think life is like that all the time. Even when I look at past jobs I've had in the past, I think it's almost, in a way, chance meetings, discovering that you can live a life like this. So yeah, to answer that question, it was discovering that it is an option, and then discovering ways to make that option a reality, that I thought that we then decided together before the end of year one that yeah, we can carry on. We weren't in a rush to move back to London. And we weren't in a rush to, I guess, choose a base of sorts. And we're still not there at the moment. Maybe at some point we'll have a semi-permanent base somewhere. Also meeting clients, but also meeting people who were doing it already and learning from them and joining communities online and whatnot. And just seeing, I guess, in the same way that, so I guess I realized I probably didn't answer the question fully earlier. A part of why I started Project Anywhere is because in the same way that I met people and then discovered it being an option and learning from them, there were friends back home in the UK or friends of friends who connected people to me who asked similar questions. How are you living this life? How do I do it too? Or maybe saying things like, oh, I couldn't do what you do. And I'm thinking, but if you really want to, yeah, I'm not saying it's for everyone, but if you really want to, like, you can too. But people are asking the same questions and asking for the same sorts of tips and resources. So I started collating that together, and that's how Project Anywhere was born. And I'm continuing to do that as well. And part of that is also, as we talk about, knowing what options are out there in life. Because I know a lot of people now, younger graduates of universities now who I meet online or in person, a lot of them jump straight into freelancing and remote working. Even pre-corona, a lot of them do that more now, but I guess maybe it's different views of the world and what on different opportunities, whereas there's still a lot of people who pre-COVID didn't realize it was an option and didn't know how to get there. So it was almost like an online resource of gathering what I've learned, the knowledge I've had, and trying to share things, that even bring in other people to write guest posts and whatnot to share their expertise, because I won't pretend to know absolutely everything, or like my way is not the right way for everyone either, as I said. There's different ways to get there, which is also why I have the interview series, Career Adventures, where there's just so many colorful things you can do, where you can end up working from anywhere as well in different ways, and that's what that's all about too.
Totally. So, I mean, yeah. Something that I've seen, I mean, even the tiny taste that I've had of kind of digital nomadism, which is nothing compared to you, but I kind of went to Bali a couple of years ago and was in Southeast Asia for a month with my laptop, you know, basically doing my work, but traveling around Cambodia, Bali, Singapore. Yeah. And I've done that before as well. And that was amazing. And it is so true that when you're sitting at home or you're in your 9-to-5 job and you don't know that this whole world exists, it feels like such a risk and it feels so impossible because I don't know about you, but in my life, I had always been taught that kind of a 9-to-5 job or being connected in some way to a physical office, like maybe they would let you work from home like one day a week or something. But basically that was the only sort of model of work that I had ever really seen and that I'd ever thought would be accessible to me anyway. But then when I sort of decided that no, this is not making me happy, there must be another way, it was almost just through sort of like sheer stubbornness that I decided that I was going to kind of make this happen for me. And once I decided that, a whole world, like literally a whole world, like opens up. And you, the more that you find out, the more you find, oh yeah, there's this and you could do this kind of work and these people make it happen this way, and then there's this website or this network or and it's almost like the more you do it, the more you kind of trust that it's going to work, the more opportunities kind of come your way. But you have to kind of take that first step to sort of decide you know, that you want that kind of more nomadic freelance life. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of that first step.
Yeah, and I guess that's first step of exploring what that looks like and what you can do, because it's precisely that a lot of people, and obviously there's things like, I'm trying to think, like doctors or firefighters, if it's an office-based job, I always say more than likely, if you look hard enough, if you look hard enough, there's going to be a version of that that you could do remotely. And if it's not there yet, it's probably going to come quite soon, I think.
Yeah, so like whatever you're doing in your office job, or whatever kind of career you're in, if, like you say, if you look for it, you can probably find a way to do it remotely. Yeah. You might have to kind of juggle it a bit or.
And there's always transferable skills. And I always get surprised when I learn about new, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but there's always companies out there who they're 100% remote and distributed, but you wouldn't have thought that they would be operating remotely. Because as I said, one of my earliest clients, when I joined as their freelance operations manager, they've been operating for 8 years, not with Digital Nomads, but they've been working with, so even to name one common digital nomad role, but not just digital nomad, but a common virtual role, virtual assistants. It doesn't have to necessarily be digital nomad, but it offers that flexibility and freedom to work, work as your own company, but also give you that control and flexibility to work where you work best. So the whole, I'm a big champion of work from anywhere. I mean, opportunities are there. And then just go and take that first step and see what's out there, talk to people and find out. I think people will get surprised at what they find is possible, because often I'll speak to people who are looking, and I'm just offering some tips and advice, because there's no, as I keep saying, there's no one right way. There's a right way for each different person. So it's always good to just have a reflection and think about what have you been working, what have you enjoyed, and see what options there are there. I don't know if you've probably had a look on my website, there is something I often share where it's almost like it's the page I share the most, where it's almost like a starter page. And it's just, I've listed out all the, and I'm trying to keep adding to it. I'm sure there are many, many more. There's job recruiting, recruitment pages for remote work. There's agencies that you can freelance through that I often freelance through as well. So it's not all direct clients. Online communities you can be a part of, because no one's an island. So that's the whole, like, the wider your community, that I guess the better support you have. And I guess, and same goes for Instagram, like that's how we met. And I think it was from talking about, because as I said, a lot of my motivations is changing the way I work, because I think there's a lot of us should be able to have more of a choice, be it because it could be because we want to, for some people it's because they have to, for a variety of reasons. So I'm a big advocate for creating more of these kind of ways of working, be it freelancing or full-time employment as well. It's something that I'm trying to dive into more projects to push that forward, because I feel passionate about that.
Yeah, totally. I just think that flexibility is just becoming something that people just need or want so much more now. I just think that, I mean, with COVID, it's kind of becoming ever more apparent that actually people can work from home, and not only can, but need to these days work from home. And actually, if you can do a job, or you do have skills that can allow you to be your own boss, set your own hours, work from wherever you are, wherever you need to be, like, why would you not do that? To me, it just kind of makes perfect sense. I mean, personally, I do a variety of things. I mean, obviously, Breathe Like a Badass is my main business, but I also still do, because I'm trained as a journalist, so I still like to keep that side of things going. And that has set hours, but it's super flexible. It's totally remote. Like, I've only met my boss once ever. And but we chat like every day, but I've never actually like met most of the team. Like, literally, I've never met them. But it all sort of works, and it's kind of easy, because I don't feel any kind of resentment towards that team, because I'm able to combine working with them with my own lifestyle and take my laptop anywhere I need to be or want to be. And I also think I'd love to ask you how you think freelancing and location independent working has changed post-COVID? Because before, I think I saw it anyway as something that was a bit kind of like, yeah, millennial, digital nomad, like a kind of a bit of a luxury thing, like something that you do. Like, and I know that, like, playing devil's advocate, it's not always that, and I know that, but I think there was a bit of a perception that only people that have another source of income can be digital nomads, or it's only for sort of like single young people that have that luxury of just quitting everything and leaving and traveling the world, and, you know, it's okay for them type thing, but it's not for me. And I think there was that perception, but I think now it's almost like being location independent and being able to work from home and from wherever you are is almost becoming more accepted, but almost more of a necessity, like the more uncertain the world is.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I was going to, I guess, bolt that together with, because I don't think it's just freelancing. I think it's, as you say, it's the location independent side of it, remote work. So even because there's a lot of full-time employed workers who are also location independent, and it might be because I'm already always saying, like, when you're in that bubble you kind of don't see it that way, because for me, I think with or without coronavirus, I think that view was shifting. It was shifting already, and even with companies being more open to offering fuller work from home or remote work policies where they can work from home or work from anywhere, I feel like that all of that is, it was shifting that way anyway. But what the pandemic has done is almost it's nudged everything along much faster. So things that myself and other, I guess, freelancers, remote workers, digital nomads, all the things we thought we were always talking about, saying, we always said to each other, these are all going to come very, very soon in 3 to 5 years. It's almost just hit it on fast forward, and it's all happening in these last few months. You're hearing all these things, you know, like Facebook, Shopify and others having full on remote work policies now, shutting down offices, plans to not reopen things. So I think the views were heading there anyway, because I think there's wider conversations, and there's, I guess I'll mention one of the agencies I work with called Hoxbee. And they've actually been running for, I want to say 5 years now. I want to say 5 years. We're going to have to, they'll slap me if I get that wrong. But they've been running for a while, you know, even before I left London. But I guess I wasn't searching for that, so I didn't know that they existed. So there's organizations like Hoxbee who are driving a movement, because they believe in not just flexible work, but work. Everyone has a different work style. And that could mean, yeah, for me, it meant I want to be able to move around every few months. I don't want to go into an office. I want to be able to spend time with my family who's in another country, but I don't necessarily want to take time off to do that. Okay, that's fine too. But there was, I guess, lots of movement heading towards this way, but I think the pandemic has really hit it at full speed, but also it's definitely... And there's a lot of things that it's almost sad that it took a pandemic to raise it. Because one of the other things I talk about, remote work as well, linked tie in with remote work that I talk about a lot, is create breaking down. It's one of the reasons I work with Hoxbee as well. It's that remote work can be used to break down the barriers for people to access work as well, for people who can't necessarily go into offices as well and whatnot. So I guess I say all of this to say, there has been movement towards it and those change of views and whatnot. But I think it's just shifted much more faster. But then at the same time, I'm in my, because I am a digital nomad and I spend time with digital nomads, I almost probably have a bubble view of thinking that those views were not as prominent anymore, of the whole, like, oh, you only sit at the beach drinking cocktails and yeah, you have to have tons of money to do this. But that's not true. It's a lot of planning, not necessarily frugal, but planning, and depending on where you go and spending within your means. I'm sure there are some, as with, you know, anybody who lives whatever kind of life, I'm sure there are some who live in some, you know, top floor flat or whatnot, taking snap views of their high rise and things like that. But it's not always the case. I think a lot of it is down to wanting a different day to day, a different pace, and things like that. And they, I think you mentioned earlier, there is that view of, there's also so many different types of digital nomads, because you mentioned earlier where there's that general view of we're all in backpacks and changing locations every few days or every couple of weeks. So it's, I don't know how, more power to them. I think they do exist, and I don't know how they get the, keep their focus and energy to do their work, because I couldn't do that. But I also love, I like slow traveling as well, and I like being in somewhere for a long time and really absorbing it. And for me as well, I like to really base myself there, and it also allows me to be focused and stay productive as well. So there's, yeah, lots of different types as well, but it's not all that stereotypical view.
Totally. Well, I think that's what's so interesting and what makes that kind of lifestyle so compelling, because I definitely felt as if for me it's been like an unlearning of everything that I thought work was supposed to be and everything that I was brought up being taught that work was supposed to be. You know, you go to an office, you do 9 to 5, you work your way up, you get promoted, whatever it might be. You have like one main job, you don't really do a side hustle, you don't have multiple different clients for different jobs. You have kind of like one skill set and that's it. And like, and you know, all of these upwards. Kind of, yeah, exactly. And the only way to be better at your job is to be promoted within the same sector. Like all of these myths, I mean, even stuff that drives me mad, like everything that we've talked about, you know, that you have to go to the same office every day, you have to be at your desk, being at your desk between certain hours equals productivity, you know, presenteeism, that crap that I will just go ahead and say is just utter bullshit. But I will say that for me, like I said, it really has been an unlearning process, because firstly, that was everything that I was always taught about work and that I just grew up believing was true. And secondly, even when I quit my 9 to 5 job like 3 years ago now, and I, as I say, I do a mixture of my business and my freelance journalism, it has been a continual unlearning process of like, my work is actually now just one part of things in my life that are important. And I think this really hit home for me. It's going to sound so wanky, but I'm going to say it anyway, because it really did hit home for me. It was when I was in Bali a couple of years ago, and I was working at the same time as being there. But I realized that I'd probably spent, and this isn't always what I do, this isn't like my typical life, but that particular week, I realized that I had spent more hours doing yoga and attending like these amazing yoga classes in Bali, which unfortunately probably aren't happening in the same way now, because they've obviously had to do social distancing and all of that. But I'd spent, basically, long story short, I'd spent more hours doing yoga that week than I had spent doing work in front of my laptop. Yeah. And obviously that's unusual. And it was unusual enough for me to sort of notice it and think, oh my God. And my initial reaction to that was, oh my God, I'm slacking. Who do I think I am? You know, what kind of layabout am I that I'm spending more time doing yoga and chilling than I am working? Like, gosh, the balance is so wrong, you know, and all of this like mindset stuff, like, oh, well, you know, is my income going to suffer? Does that mean that I don't have a good work ethic? Does that mean I don't deserve to be successful? And all of these thoughts kind of popped into my head. And then immediately after that, I was just like, do you know what? All of that's just crap. Like, I actually am realizing that my work is kind of now fitting into my life rather than my life is being slotted into tiny bits around my work. And it was kind of a bombshell moment, because I was like, oh, like that's been my goal for work.
Yeah. And then you finally realize when it's happening. But just by instinct, that natural guilt creeps in that we've all learned, I don't know if it's through school as well, and then you go into your jobs feeling that same, it should be about, and I guess there's maybe a similar thing that you're learning from that kind of experience, and even along the way of freelancing and whatnot, it should really be more about the output that you give, not, because people can sit in an office 9 to 5, and I, I haven't sat in an office 9-to-5 for a while in a corporate setting. Obviously, I go to co-working spaces, but a little bit different. And most people, I remember, not most people, but often some of that time, if you're finished with a project, there's a lot of people chatting around the coffee machine, looking at Facebook. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's like, we're all human. But when you think about that need to keep everyone present 9-to-5, maybe more so to, you know, really show that you're really dedicated to the project or to the company and whatnot, which is silly. Again, not all companies, but so many companies I've experienced that, oh, you're not there 9 on the dot, and oh, you're leaving on time, you slacker. And then you just think, but what's really happening in between? I think I've done my most productive times were, and as I say, part of the reason I love working from home is I need to have no distractions and no sounds. I did love talking to my colleagues. It's one of the reasons I go to co-working spaces now. You do need that interaction, but I guess I find a different thing is that in co-working spaces, everyone's either running their own business or they're freelancers. There's just a different, there's spaces where, you know, it's heads down. Okay, you're working. I think that where we are now, there's places where they have what they call quiet spaces where it's just, yeah, everyone's just being productive. And then, yeah, you'll be in the garden or whatnot and chat, lunch and things like that. No one's, you know, feeling like someone else is saying you need to be there 9-to-5. I guess they're more, there's more a commitment that they've set for themselves. It's not they're being present for because someone else has told them to, when really, is everyone really 100% productive in those 9-to-5 hours? I mean, I often, my workflows can, ebb and flow in a way where I do my best work in the morning. I'm more productive, more focused if I have a clear head to do deep work. So I do that the best in the morning. But, you know, it shifts on different days for various reasons. Maybe one day I'll if I open my laptop at 9, maybe I'm not in the right mindset, or maybe I'm having an off day or not feeling great and I just need a few hours before I jump in. Or maybe I'll have a long leisurely lunch and then work a bit later to the evening. I'd rather get stuck in when I know I'm gonna do really focused, productive work than just open my laptop just because. And yeah, when I'm not really doing the work, it's just putting in the time. But we really should be seen as measured on what we're creating, not the hours that we're putting in.
Totally.
As long as it's the work that's being promised to deliver.
Totally. And I think there's so much in what you just said, like literally the idea that actually, firstly, we're responsible adults and we shouldn't need to be kind of forced to put our bum on a seat in a particular office location to do work. Like, hello, like we're not at school anymore. You know, we should be able to kind of do our own work and design our own work day and not have some kind of like overlord boss sort of like checking over our shoulder. And paradoxically for me, actually, I'm the kind of personality, you know, you could call it impulsive, you could call it creative, or you could just call it like bloody stubborn. Like, I don't really care, but like, I'm the kind of personality that if someone tells me to do something, like my instinct is like to not do it, to want to rebel against it. So
you
just described
how I grew up towards my mum.
Literally, like I am totally unemployable now in terms of being in an office. Like, I hate any kind of overbearing authority that is just there for no reason. Like, obviously, rules that are like life or death, of course I'm going to respect them. But if it's just because, yeah, oh, there's a boss that tells me I've got to work from 9-to-5 and I have to take an hour lunch break at 1 p.m. it's just like, why? Like, I don't, yeah, that's not
so
that,
arbitrary,
yeah, leftover from the Industrial Revolution, yeah, doesn't even make, yeah, sense anymore,
yeah.
Why do I need to come and work at this office when I've got a perfectly good desk and a perfectly good laptop at home? Like, just, I mean, and there's so many things that I could say about that. Like, it's a very privileged, spoiled, entitled, you could say, outlook. But I also think that it's actually much more human and much more respectful to who we are as humans and, yeah, who we are as people. And we're all different and we all have different times of the day when we're productive and we, yeah, all have different things that we're better at and, yeah, not as good at. And why would you not want to make work for you? Like, yeah, why is that such a revolutionary concept? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we're not machines. And I guess to go on a different tangent as well, where I think in the past, and it's still something that's still followed quite a bit now, the whole there is some shift in generations, I guess, the whole, you know, work really hard now and you can reap the benefits when you retire, and then you can go on this round the world trip, maybe, you know, I guess that's a stereotypical one now, retiring and then traveling around the world, which is wonderful. But why do we need to wait till then? Because there's a lot of talk around, because I'm actually rereading, I don't think I mentioned that last time, but I'm actually rereading Tim Ferriss's book, 4-Hour Work Week. There's so many good reminders. Yeah, I don't think there's any digital nomad who would be able to say they have not read 4-Hour Work Week. But there's so many different reminders, and it's the whole, why are we waiting till we retire? Why can't we have, I think it was Tim Ferriss, who talks about mini retirements, and there's various other people who have different variations of talking about that as well. Whereas I think that's exactly, because you mentioned as well, what we said earlier, where a lot of millennials now jump straight into, whether or not they've gone to uni, they go straight into freelancing, they go straight into looking for remote work, because, and they work hard, they're smart, intelligent. I know maybe older generations will say total slackers, ungrateful, spoiled, they want everything right now. And it's like, but no, if you can, there, I've met business directors, founders who have been nomading for much longer than I have, and some of them travel faster than I do as well. They're still running very, very strong, successful businesses. But if the possibility is there, why not, as you say, and as I say with a lot of people as well, why not build your work around your life? And you can still work hard and work smart even while doing a lot of the things that you love and want to do alongside the work, not wait till later. Why can't you do that now? And again, it is I always say, being able to work remotely and to talk about these things and be a digital nomad, I am in a privileged position to even be able to consider doing that. Not everyone can. There's lots of digital skills as well that not everyone, I guess depending on where you grew up, your generation as well, not everyone is learning those things, but there are organizations who are bridging that gap. As one of them is Stay Nimble, who I do some freelance writing for in the past. So there are organizations bridging those gaps. So I think that's a different shift as well. And I guess going back to your previous question that you said about COVID and the COVID-19 and the pandemic happening, it's absolutely brought this to the forefront, where people are seeing a different way of working that they just didn't think was possible before. But because this, by necessity, companies are having to allow, so even remote full-time workers have been working remotely, because I think we've actually met some folks in Bansko who are, I guess, nomading for the first time, if you like, and it's because they are working remotely, and now it's got to a point where maybe their offices haven't opened up and they just thought, well, why am I sticking around here? If I can, asked if they could go work from somewhere else that's not home for a few months. And yeah, so they're diving into the world of location independence as well. So it's amazing how in previous years, lots of companies would say, oh, it's not possible, we can't do that, how can I trust that you'll do the work? But suddenly they're forced to, and they're realizing, or more the staff at work and workers are realizing, well, hey, we can, are you going to suddenly take this away from us? Or, you know, let's talk about it, and how can we make it continue to work? And everyone's still considering all the stuff that, regardless of, you know, even everyone who's in good health and has kept their jobs and want it, it's still been tough. So for everyone to still be able to do the work and keep these businesses running, I think it's a testament to what's possible, that you don't have to be in office and 100%. Physically next to each other, or even talking synchronously as well. You've got things like Slack and whatnot, and as long as you have those in place and you have agreed communication channels, and you've got your shared ways of working, and you've got plans of how you're going to collaborate, it all works really smoothly.
Totally, yeah, it's all about processes, really. Gosh, there's just so much in what you say. Like every time you speak, I literally have like five more questions that I want to ask you. I think it's so true. I think that COVID has really demonstrated how so many of us actually can bring our skills online. I mean, at the beginning of COVID, when kind of lockdown happened around the world, You know, it wasn't all kind of the exact same week, but it was kind of within a few weeks of each other, everyone kind of went into lockdown. And I really struggled with a lot of guilt at the beginning of that my job was essentially completely untouched. Like, yeah. My life was pretty much the same. Like, I couldn't go and work in a coffee shop. I couldn't go out to eat in a restaurant, but that was literally about the only change. Like, my work was the same. Yeah. It was unaffected. It's, you know, it's all completely online. It's all remote. Didn't change a thing. And I felt very guilty about that because I recognized like what a position of privilege that is and how so many other people's lives were so kind of like utterly devastated beyond recognition because their jobs had gone or they weren't able to see their families and all of that stuff. And I felt a lot of guilt, but I think now it's almost becoming the new normal and people really are starting to appreciate that working in this way can work for you. And it's not, like you said, it's not purely something that is only the preserve of very privileged people. And like you say, there are companies that are helping bridge the gap. There are companies that are helping people that maybe don't have these sorts of digital skills to be able to pick them up, ways of making transferable skills that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been location independent and now they are. And I think it's also a shift in perceptions. And like you said, like it's so almost a tragedy that it's taken a global pandemic to finally have the shoe drop for some people. I mean, I even know there's people in my family who have businesses and have historically always been like, oh yeah, working from home in inverted commas. Like you're not working, you're slacking. Like you're obviously just in bed or pretending to work. Like there's no such thing as working from home. You know, it's just basically taking a day off, isn't it?
Yeah. And you think now, you're watching TV all day. Yeah, but it's not okay.
Exactly. And now it's like, oh, now that we've been forced to allow people to work from home, we're starting to understand that not only is it possible, but also preferable in some ways. Like all these companies that are starting to realize they can save on space. Like, isn't it so much cheaper? Like, even if you only have half your workforce in at once, for example, or you have hot desking, or, you know, why wouldn't you, as a company that employs people, make more of your work remote? Because even if you just look at it from a purely bottom line, like even if you don't care about, you know, people's different working schedules or emotions or needs to be flexible or whatever, even if you're literally just looking at the bottom line, like why wouldn't you have a smaller office and fewer desks and less heating and, you know, all of that stuff? I think it's really sort of made these questions kind of come to the forefront. And like I say, like it's a tragedy that it's taken a global pandemic to sort of force that conversation, but I'm kind of happy that it's happening.
Yeah, that it's fast tracked it that way a little bit more. Which makes it a bit more, I guess that makes these conversations a bit easier. And I guess not just for the bottom line of the company, because even if you look at the like the staff themselves as well, they're spending less time commuting, even so less time, less costs for commuting as well, probably spending, depends on where you are, spending less eating a quick sandwich that will, you know, it all adds up. And then it's just a sandwich, you know, like Boots meal deal and one I remember back in UK, but maybe they're able to have a nice lunch at home, or it just changes the environment so much. And to be able to choose where you work, I think it just makes such a big difference on the motivation and like attitudes and how your, I guess, your perception to work as well, because there's that flexibility and it's not like you're being forced into that one, I guess, that one ladder career and the only way is up. It's could be anyways. I'm all for portfolio careers as well. That's what I think too. Totally. Freelancing as well. So there's so many, as you mentioned, side hustles as well. You said side hustles earlier. And there's also growing, I guess, alongside freelancing, the growth of the gig economy. Like, I think the way that everyone working is shifting is going to shift a lot, and probably in more unexpected ways to come, especially with, you know, to go into not necessarily remote working, but even with automation and AI coming in, that who knows what it's going to look like pretty soon as well.
Yeah.
And where and how we'll all be working.
Totally. And I think for people that haven't been part of this world, it's kind of similar to what we said before. When you haven't sort of taken those first steps into understanding how your work could change all the possibilities that are out there, it can seem really scary and daunting and uncertain. And I think that for some people, it can be really intimidating to be like, I don't know how to work in a different way. I've never done it. I've always worked in an office, or I've always worked in an environment where I have my people around me. You know, I don't know if I trust myself to work from home, or I don't know if I really enjoy it, or like, but I think that it's like, the phrase that keeps coming into my head, it's cheesy, but everyone knows that I love my cheesy quotes. It's that idea of like, leap and the net will appear.
Yep.
So much of freelancing and digital nomadism, I find, is like knowing that you want a different life, or knowing that there is another possibility out there, but not quite knowing exactly how all the pieces are going to fit together when you first take that first step. But leap and the net will appear if you kind of have faith to sort of take that first job, or that, even if it's not a permanent role, or even if you quit your job because you hope something will come. It's almost like, usually it does, you know, it kind of has a way of working itself out.
I was gonna say, everything tends to work out in one way or another. And I think also, if you have a vision, I always talk about visions and reflecting a lot, like self-check-ins and whatnot. If you have I guess the first step before you take that leap, a first step is to even take some time to reflect on what you want your day-to-day to look like. Because I don't believe there is one dream job or one dream project for anyone, but there's probably ways of finding out, testing the waters, dipping your toes to figure out what that looks like. Because I would say every single job I've had in the past, everything that I've worked on, I'm sure you would and anyone would as well, you're able to look back and go, oh, I really enjoyed that, did enjoy that, I was great at that, that part's not my strong suit, and you kind of build up a vision of what work you could do, and then as you're searching, you kind of build up a vision of seeing what's out there, what you could leap into. So I guess another thing I would say is a little bit of trial and error as well, because you don't know until you try whether that will work for you, whether you'll enjoy it, or if that's the right way for you. And I guess I'm going to tie that in with, a lot of people are scared to make any big changes in their life because they're scared to fail. What happens if I fail? If this doesn't work out, I've got nothing to go back to. But it's always, I agree, it's almost always usually fine. I mean, even before I used to be, I've been described, and I describe it that way now, I've stolen it from a past MD who described my CV as colorful. But they loved it because they said it mirrored, like they said, oh, I also had a colorful CV. It's great. life of a generalist, life of a generalist project manager. But I also job hopped a lot in the past, so maybe I should have been a freelancer so much earlier. But in between, I wasn't precious. I worked in bars, I did some volunteering and whatnot. But you always, I guess, while changing jobs and doing different jobs in between, I got a feeler of what I was good at, building new skills as well. But I got a feel of what I was good at and what I enjoyed doing. So I actually look back, and there was a time where I thought, oh, maybe it is really bad that I'm a job hopper and it's a terrible thing. But I say to so many people who still think it's bad, one, that they job hop, or that they're generalists. And I think, well, actually, no, because I guess even freelancing, your workload looks like this. And I think everyone's careers, I think I need to read their book, I can't remember who wrote it now, but we all should have, it's great to have squiggly careers. That book, and that's why I call it career adventures as well. I don't think it's a career path. I don't like talking about career ladders because, I don't think they're a great thing because they're not, I guess it works for some, but there's also a lot of people who you aim all your life for this one ladder and then they get to the top and then they think, is this it? And I guess for me, I used to look at some of the roles that were higher up when I was in London, and I don't want their day-to-day. So that's why I talk a lot about figure out what your day-to-day your ideal day-to-day would look like. And I thought, I don't want that. And it doesn't look great to be in that role. So I'll shift and shift. And then eventually ended up freelancing remotely. Totally. But I think, yeah, there is that fear. But I think absolutely go for it. Try different things. Talk to people. And it usually works out in the end. You'll land on your feet, even if it's not. And there is no final destination either. So I think there's also the fear that, what if my dream doesn't come true? I'm not anywhere where I thought I would be 5 years ago, and I don't know where I'll be in 5 years. So, but I'm going, I feel like I'm going the right way.
Yeah, totally.
What I want my life to look like. So,
it is such a balance. I really think it is a balance. And again, it reminds me of a phrase. It's like, worry about kind of where you want to end up, but don't get too hung up on the how. And I think that's so key, whether you're an entrepreneur or a freelancer. But I think it's also important to say that, and I know that you do say this, and you did mention it briefly earlier, that before you quit your job, you didn't just quit your job with like £5 left in the bank. You did do some solid saving before you quit, you know. Yeah. Like, I'm not advocating that people just kind of go, oh, it'll be fine. Like, it'll all work out. Like, leap and the net will appear, and suddenly you'll be able to pay your rent with no idea of how. It's kind of like, it's a balance between figuring out like, okay, I'm going to make sure that I have kind of, you know, 2 months rent in the bank at all times, you know, so that if I have a disaster or something happens, at least I'm not going to be homeless, or, you know, so I think that it's important to say that too. And I think that you were careful about that. And I was too. Like, when I quit my job, I made sure that I had a freelance job waiting for me, so that I knew that at the very minimum I was going to be able to pay my bills. And that was important to me. I do know some people that kind of quit their jobs and started their own business and went freelance without that safety net. But I think those people are made of different cloth. Because I couldn't do that. It was kind of too much leaping for me. I had to find my happy medium.
Big leap.
Yeah.
And I guess it's also a case of, by having a sort of safety net, be it financially or knowing that there's family or friends that you can fall back on, or having a client lined up while you build up a portfolio of clients, or building up a business that you plan to launch, having that safety net in place, or having some stability as you make that leap, it removes that, it removes the barrier and the fear of constantly only thinking about, oh, I need to get paid. How am I going to, how will I get my next paycheck? I think if you're only focused on that, you're not going to have a happy time either. Yeah. And then on the flip side, before you take that leap, by almost giving yourself a deadline, by saying, you're handing your notice, or even before you do that, you're planning. So I knew we didn't have an exact day, but we had a rough date of, right, around springtime this year, that's it. Okay, we should get ourselves in a position where we're not renting our flat anymore. We don't have full-time jobs. So obviously my partner was a freelancer anyway, so he was way ahead of me for different reasons. But almost having that deadline and that cutoff point, you almost go on auto, and you're forcing yourself to get things in position for it to be a little less scary when you take that leap. So of course, as you say, I saved up money. I didn't leave with £3 in my bank account. But as I said, I had the luxury of, I knew I was traveling rather than leaping into work. But I'm glad I did have that safety net, so that when I did start looking into freelancing, again, I had the luxury of deciding, is this the right fit for me? What work do I want to do? So that's the other thing where I do recommend, although it can be exciting, and it has, as you say, I've seen people where it has worked out, where they've taken that leap and it's fine, and it usually is less stressful if you do have some things in place, so that you're not rushing to dive into the first thing that you work, because otherwise there's no different, it's no different from what you did before, and you still have that same stress, and you feel like you've committed yourself to something not passionate about. I don't really agree with the whole follow your passion either, but it's something that you don't love at all, and you don't feel connected to, and that's also quite shit.
Totally. And there's nothing like kind of panic about how you're going to pay your bills to kind of totally kill any kind of creative drive or I should just say that the heavens have opened in London where I'm recording this, and I don't know if the microphone can pick up how heavy the rain has literally just become, and there's thunder and everything going on. So
you can hear a rumble in the background.
Yeah. A light, gentle rumble in the background. Love it. Yeah. London in August. Another reason why I was initially drawn to the idea of being able to travel away from the rain in London. However, right now we're all kind of stuck where we are because of COVID anyway, so I'm learning to embrace it. Talking of COVID, I really wanted to talk to you about, I have asked you what you think the world of work might look like now, post-COVID, but more personally for you, I know that you decided you were going to travel kind of 3 months here, 3 months here, 3 months here,
yeah.
But you guys have actually been in Bangso, in Bulgaria, more or less, this whole year, mainly because of COVID. So what has that been like for you? Has that been an intentional thing? How come you haven't decided to kind of ditch it all and go back home to the UK? How has that been sort of adapting to having sort of almost been forced to stay in one place because of circumstances as someone who dreamed of being a digital nomad and had big plans to travel all around the world? Like what does that look like?
It's an interesting choice of words, the way you ask the question, but it's also the way that everyone is asking us. And I might have spoken about this to you before, mentioned on my Project Anywhere pages. But our plan is to have no plan, because there's not been one year that has, you know, followed our
rough
plans either. So it's never, in terms of where we are going, actually, there's not been one year that has followed the rough plan of where we go. So last year was where we were going to be in Europe for a bit. We had planned to go to the USA and then have a chunk of, we were going to evenly split it between Europe, USA and Asia, for example, and that for a variety of reasons, work plus family commitments, it didn't pan out that way, but we still had an awesome time, saw our family, went to some weddings, and also spent some time in Vietnam, Thailand and Hong Kong before double backing to Switzerland. And then I think we came straight on to Bulgaria with some UK time in between. I know it doesn't make me sound like much of a slow traveler when I say it like that, really. But the plan for this year was to spend winter in Bansko, because it's really renowned for, it's a wonderful place anyway, great for hiking in the summer, great for skiing in the winter. And so our plan was actually to go back to the UK after that in spring, more to visit my family, and beyond that, we hadn't, as I said, the plan was to have no plan. We didn't really have any plans. So when the pandemic hit, for a variety of reasons, I guess, mostly being that we didn't have a set base anywhere at the time, our base, if you like, felt, Bansko was our base at the time. So it felt most sensible to stay put. It was a mixture of being stuck at the time because of lockdowns. They actually quarantined Bansko specifically at the time, and a couple of other ski towns, giving 48 hours notice to say, if you're not a resident, if you're a foreign national, so that included us at the time, you have 48 hours to leave or you're just going to be stuck in Bansko. So we were like, what should we do? And we did um and ah about it a lot, because that's 48 hours to even decide where are we going to go, find somewhere to stay, how long are we going to stay there for, what is that going to look like. So it made more sense to stay because that was our base at the time, but also we didn't really know, the news had just broken out, it felt quite uncertain for us, it felt I didn't feel comfortable flying. I know you'd hear a big divide in nomads, of some rushed home, and quite a few actually who I know were, I'm going to do quotation, well, at the time they were stuck actually, because we technically, you could get repatriated or fly, but it didn't feel comfortable to fly, because I don't know, I'm one to err on the cautious side of, especially when the virus was just arriving. I didn't know, what if I pick it up and pass it on to someone? I don't know. So, and also again, no base, so this was our base. So we chose, in those 48 hours, we chose to stay. But partly also the other reason why we're still here is, yes, it is because partly because of the pandemic, who knows, with things have been changing overnight in terms of borders. I've had people being turned away. Obviously, it's different depending on your passport, but some people have been turned away at the borders, or the rules changed overnight because the coronavirus stats have changed and whatnot. So again, there's so many uncertainties that coupled with that, we were thinking of slowing down this year anyway. We didn't know where. So it was like the world had chosen for us. Okay, here you go. You'll slow down. You can pause in Bulgaria. And yeah, so we're paused in Bulgaria for this year, partly because of coronavirus, but also we wanted to anyway. So here's a pretty good place to be supposedly stuck.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And like, I use the word stuck sort of on purpose, because it's like, well, actually, if you don't necessarily have a single base. And I kind of love your phrase, like, our plan is to have no plan. Cause it's like, well, we'll just see what happens. And it's sort of like, well, actually, maybe, like you say, the universe just chose it for us, you know. And it's kind of like, I don't always use terms like that, and I don't really believe in that whole stuff, but it's kind of like, sometimes you just have to go with the flow. And actually, you used a brilliant word earlier, like serendipitous.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you kind of decided that this year was going to be your year where you were going to maybe take it a bit slower, see what happened, not really have a plan. So actually, maybe it sort of turned out, ironically.
Yeah, in a way, it's worked. Yeah, our day-to-day, as I keep talking about, has worked out, and it's looking how we were hoping it would look out. Because again, one of the reasons I moved out of London was I wanted to be outdoors more. I mean, I don't have to summit every mountain, but I love hiking, I love walking out in nature, camping and whatnot. So to be able to have access to that here, and this is where we're stopped at, is brilliant, and really ties into, I guess, what I was hoping to look for. This is what I look for wherever we travel to anyway. Because something else I always say to a lot of people is, so I always talk a lot about having a vision of what you want your future to look like, or what you're working towards, because sometimes and often it won't, what you're looking for might not happen in the way or the time frame that you expected it to be. But if you're always talking about it and thinking about it and just surrounding yourself with thoughts about it, I could probably talk going into a bit of manifestation here now. But I do believe that if you end up subconsciously nudging yourself towards what you want, if you are always, you know, reading about it, learning about it, surrounding yourself with people who might be doing that already, or living the life that you hope to live a similar life to as well, that you can learn from the guidance. But I think, yeah, in a lot of different ways, you end up where you hope to be, but it might not look or be exactly how you thought it would be.
Yeah, but it's just so true. I mean, it's kind of what we were saying before about the squiggly career thing, and sort of knowing where you want to end up, but not being sort of too attached on exactly how you're going to get there. And I think the squiggly career, I mean, it is a book, and I'll put the information about it in the show notes of the podcast.
They got a good podcast as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just love it. I mean, isn't it just such a wonderful thing? Even the name, The Squiggly Career, really says what they're all about. And it's kind of like, you might have point A and point B, and maybe you think that the line between them is going to be fairly straight, but actually it might be just completely squiggly, up and down, peaks, troughs. Oh my God, times when you think it's all going wrong.
Backwards, propel you in the right way later. It's like, it's all, as I like to call it, it's such a career adventure. There's no wrong way.
I love that, actually. I wanted to say that when you mentioned that earlier, the idea of like, not a career path, but a career adventure. I mean, what a brilliant way of looking at it. I kind of think that's so true. And like, talking about your vision, and also there's that phrase, you know, you are the sum total of like the five people that you hang around with the most. And I think part of being a digital nomad, especially connecting, even if it's only online, with communities that exist out there, there are different masterminds, there are communities that are specifically designed for female digital nomads and female freelancers as well. And it really is just kind of surrounding yourself with people that actually have done what you want to do, or are trying to do what you want to do. And That it sounds kind of obvious when you say it, but if you're someone who's like the only person in your immediate family who's chosen this career path or doing what you want to do, sometimes you just feel as if you're totally mad. Like, yeah. why have I done this? Doing? What am I doing with my life? Like, why didn't I just stay in the easy, comfortable job? Like, and I think you're so right. If you have a calling, whatever you want to call it, or you just feel as though you need or want a different life, I think surrounding yourself with people that think the same or have done what you want to do can just be so transformative.
Yeah, and it just gives you a different energy in kind of how you're, I guess, how you're moving through life as well. And I'm also I'm also a big advocate for the whole, you can't be what you can't see. As kind of going back to what I said at the start, if you don't know it's an option, how would you even know that that's a path or an adventure that you could choose to go on? Because you didn't even know it's there. You don't know how. And I guess in recent years, when I started freelancing, and I guess as I decided to go on this adventure of diving into the world of being a digital nomad, and I think I've said this to you when we met early on as well, I say it with more ease now because it's one of those words where it's like, I always go, oh, I work remotely, I'm location independent. But I guess as you say, there was, and it still is, I guess, such a negative connotation when you hear the words digital nomad. It's like, oh, they're just, you know, hanging by the beach, swinging their laptops around in the sun and whatnot. But a lot of my growth and journey heading this way was through online communities. And I've also met a lot of wonderful people face-to-face along the way. I guess both nomads and locals wherever we live, but I guess the groups that I have used while traveling around, and it's almost like they give you a constant because they're virtual, so everyone can log in wherever, and they've just been so... I've learned a lot and they've been very helpful, and they're always really supportive communities as well that you can jump in and ask questions about somewhere you're traveling to, or maybe you're diving into a new industry or working on a new project and you just want to pick someone's brains and bounce ideas around. It's just nice to know that you can tap into these virtual communities, because one of them, I guess the ones that I'm in a lot, is Digital Nomad Girls, Freelancing Females. One that's more travel related, but they maybe because of COVID as well, there's a lot of overlap as well in terms of the travel and work remotely. There's Girl Gone International, which is one where I guess for Digital Nomad Girls and Girl Gone International, I'll highlight both of these because they're the ones where I've gone to the most when traveling or chatting about freelance life and nomad life. I guess to go on another topic, as a woman, there's a lot of different questions and different things we do want to ask about and talk about when we are traveling to different places. But they've also been brilliant at for if I land into a new place, you can just type in and go, hey, I'm in Edinburgh or I'm in Lisbon, who's in town? And I've actually met quite a few wonderful friends through that way, either just chatting online and we happen to overlap in the same area, or we just meet for a coffee or meet for a drink and then we're still in touch and try to overlap along the way as well, which is lovely. So there's all these ways of showing you that what is possible, and I'm constantly learning from these groups as well, where people are doing completely different things and working on different sectors where I still get surprised at what you can do remotally.
Totally.
Lots of nomad accountants I've realized this year.
Which is amazing, because that's so traditionally kind of like a job where people would just think, oh, accountancy is like the most sort of traditional, steadfast job ever.
Yeah, but actually, stay in one place.
It's just about inventing your job in a way that works for you, basically. And I kind of love what you're saying about meeting new people when you land somewhere new, because it's such a mix of independence and doing your own thing and being kind of quite true to yourself and being quite strong-willed and living a life that's kind of totally on your terms, but then also being really open to meeting other people and being extroverted for a night or, you know, for a few hours or whatever. And I kind of feel like a lot of nomads that I meet are a real mix of extrovert and introvert, because you sort of have to be good at knowing yourself and being good in your own company and being okay just working by yourself from home, or working kind of, you know, on your own essentially, but in a coffee shop, and not having your colleagues around you or whatever. Yeah. But then on the other hand, when you're traveling and you're always in somewhere new, you necessarily have to meet new people as well. So it's yeah. I love that it appeals to both those sort of sides of my personality, because people will know that I always describe myself as an E/INFP. I'm always extroverted and introverted at the same time. So,
because it's funny you should say that, because I describe myself as a social introvert. Is that what I say? Like a sociable introvert, because I actually, I'll admit, I love meeting new people, but I also love my downtime. People get really surprised because people always say, oh, but you're a digital nomad and you used to live in London. Aren't you out and about all the time? And I always say no, because you can still explore. It's still nice to explore. Obviously, I'm quite lucky. I travel around with my partner, and we're on the same wavelength, so that's still, we bounce off of each other. So it's we're both, I think he's also a sociable introvert as well, so we tend to explore a lot together. Obviously we join co-working spaces, so you do have group activities and whatnot, but I'll admit I recharge more when I have my alone time. I need, and I don't know if it's, as I say, that it's one of the reasons why I worked better working from home before. And that's part of my introversion. But then on the flip side, I was sociable with my colleagues. I liked going out for dinners and going out around London with friends and things like that. But I guess it's something, even now, I have to be really conscious of. And so, because I'm an operations and project manager as a profession, but I do a lot of time blocking. But I always find it good, I guess, talking about blending work and life and making work around your life. I actually advise planning time without dividing the two, because I actually sometimes, I'll admit, I'm a geek about time blocking. Sometimes I time block days or have blocks of time in my week where I know, okay, I'm not going to plan anything on that time, because otherwise you could blink. And I like meeting people, I like doing activities. You could easily blink and fill your calendar with a whole bunch of stuff, and then you just get drained and it's not personal to anyone, but you just need that downtime, otherwise you hit like an emotional brick wall. And I didn't know about introversion, extroversion when I lived in London. I used to think something's wrong with me, that why am I suddenly having, you know, up days and down days, and people probably think I'm being strange. If you're normally really bubbly, why are you suddenly really quiet? And then I didn't know why either. Now I realize, it's because I hit a brick wall, and suddenly it's like I literally cannot, maybe I can't digest what's being said or whatnot, and I just need to recharge, and that was it. And then I'm refreshed and energized again. But I think you see, when bringing it back to digital nomads, you'll see a real mix, because there is a lot of communities around the world. Like in Chiang Mai, there was a weekly Chiang Mai Nomad Girls brunch every Wednesday. There's lots of nomad meetups in any city that you go to, but I often also connected with mostly female because of the groups I was in, but I connected with female nomads online and met them one-to-one for lunch, and I had lots of we'd also end up talking about introversion, extroversion, because quite often I'd find that either side would deliberately suggest meeting for lunch or meeting for dinner one-on-one or in a smaller group, just because that was more, and it just had different chats and whatnot. Obviously we all still join in groups, but that was how we wanted to meet.
100%. Yeah,
we discussed that as well, and how we work. Yeah, so you get a mix of both.
Totally relate to that. 100%.
The beauty of it is that you can choose which environment you want to have, depending on the mood or what you're feeling up to, I guess, where you are at the time.
Yeah, but I mean, that was going to be my next question. It kind of dovetails really neatly into it, because for me, it really is what you're saying, learning to understand yourself. And I mean, being freelance and being an entrepreneur, I find doing your own thing, being your own boss, setting your own hours, all this stuff that we've been talking about, is kind of like the biggest personal development journey ever. You just have to learn yourself. You have to be tuned in to how you work best. and what you need, and kind of being unapologetic about what you need and who you are and what your strengths are and weaknesses and skills and whatever. And so my question now really is, like, this podcast is about, like, meditation as and mindfulness as a base on how to kind of learn to know yourself. But of course, that question is so vast because we're all so different and we're all so getting to know yourself is such a kind of lifelong journey and all of the rest of it. But I would love to know, you've mentioned vision boarding a lot, like having a vision. And you've also mentioned taking time to recharge by yourself. That's important. Are there any other sort of habits or rituals that you've adopted since you've been on the road that help you to develop that sense of self-knowing and self-belief, self-trust, or anything that stops you from going crazy when you're when you're away from home and you are traveling around the place?
I guess the cook was, you've mentioned, because I guess we've just through naturally by talking about different things, we've listed through a few things. A couple of other things come to mind, and again, a lot of people might say it doesn't instinctively sound like it goes hand in hand with freelancing, because with freelancing people, and I still do talk about it, where talk about freelancing in the sense of there's a lot of freedom, there's a lot of flexibility, and yes, that's absolutely true. But one thing that keeps me sane and a lot of freelancers sane is having some structure, and a routine, and that looks different for everyone. As I say, for me, it's in terms of self-care, it's time blocking out time where I know I'm not going to make any plans, having some form of routine that you can follow, not so rigid, but I'm in terms of moving from different places to places, I moved around a lot when I was younger anyway, so I think I do generally adapt quite quickly, but I'm still human. One quick way to quickly create to make somewhere feel really at home is to have those routines, even if it's maybe a local coffee shop you found and you go there around the same time every couple of mornings, joining the same meetup at the same time every week, trying to quickly create a sense of familiarity basically with those routines helps you quickly feel at home in the new place. But it also, not only that, I guess linking into that, helps you stay more focused, because wherever you move, I think I've spoken to a lot of nomads, and there's just a general understanding of wherever you move, there's at a minimum what we call like a 2-week settling in period, because you're building those routines again, even if it's somewhere that you've been to before. If you've just landed into there today, it's at a bare minimum, it'll take you 2 weeks to build those routines. But the sooner you start trying to set those, whatever that looks like, you set that up, the sooner then you feel at home, you've got the rhythm going. It's not working 9 to 5, it's finding the rhythm that works for you, and you know when you work best and whatnot, and what would help you feel at home in those where you are at the moment, and it'll keep you build that rhythm where you are.
Totally.
And then the other thing I guess is I started journaling in recent years, but I'm not the sort of person who journals of free flow writing what my day is. I use prompts. It could be themes. It could be something I'm thinking about for work. It could be something I've read, but then I'll free flow journal my thoughts about that topic. And I often revisit it as well. I do revisit those thoughts later, maybe, because sometimes often I'll find, that's quite great for a blog, or that's some good ideas that I can use for a project. But a lot of my journaling actually is what I mentioned before, of the self-check-in reflection, where I it's something I picked up from my last job in London actually, because although I didn't stay because that wasn't my long-term goal of staying in London and working in a startup, it's a fantastic experience, but fantastic also because it was the first place I worked where they were very open in what I call, blending life and work. And we had weekly team check-ins where they would not only go, how's your project going? It would almost be like, I think it was almost like using traffic lights to say how you're doing, like, how are you? Are you green, red, or amber? But not just how in terms of what you're working on, but people were quite open and vulnerable in talking about what's happening in their life. And I'm I say this to everyone I meet, I still feel like I'm a very private person, but actually saying it out loud now, I think I'm much more open than I was before. But definitely very private when I was when I was working in that role. I guess something I took away from them was doing this self-check-in. I think that's what we called, or maybe they called it a values exercise, where you answer three questions. It comes from Mind Valley, and there's a YouTube link to that actually, which I'll send to share to share with this, because I love it. I do it quite regularly still, where you ask yourself, like, how do you want to grow? What do you want to experience? And I think it's, how do you want to contribute? And you free flow answer these questions, because what happens is you'll see, every time, the more you do it, you'll see repeated themes, and you almost, your goals in life, if you like, can almost be taken from what you jot down. And maybe you'll see things that don't look possible, because the idea is to write no hold bars. If money and time was not an issue, what would your answer be? And then answer a link to different areas in your life. And it's fun to look back and see that actually, yeah, I've started moving, actually in a big way. I'm doing a lot of the things. I want to be outdoors more, I want to be more active, I want to travel and eat lots of different food and different things. But I think that helps, that's helpful to stay sane. And as I say, I think it's important for people to check in regularly and remind yourself that you're on a right path.
Yeah, I love that.
And how far you've gone, I guess, because it's so easy. Yeah. To just, you're like, me being a digital nomad, for me it's normal now. It, and when I meet other nomads, we talk about our lives like it's our everyday, so it's quite normal. It's never a oh my god moment. It's more like, oh, where have you been the last 3 months? Oh, where are you going? It's what are you working on? But when you catch up with friends back home, is more of a, it's so different. So it becomes our normal, but so it's good. Whatever life you're living, it's nice to check back and see what's changed.
Yeah.
And how you've grown.
Yeah, totally. Journaling can be completely transformative. And like, I go through phases of doing it and then not doing it. But every time that I pick it back up again, whether I allow myself to just free write or whether I do like you and use prompts, it's always so ridiculously eye-opening. And just gives you a chance to reflect and, like you say, set out what your vision for the future is, but also, exactly like you say, really the important work of looking back to see how far you've come. Because I don't know about you, but I would otherwise be absolutely awful at that, and I would always just be looking ahead, focusing on what I haven't yet achieved, and totally discounting everything that I have achieved, even if, you know, there's still huge things that I still want to do. But that's so important as well. And I love what you said about kind of giving yourself a settling in period, because I myself moved around a lot when I was a kid too. And so I think of myself anyway as someone who's fairly adaptable. And for me, it's kind of like, as long as I have a few things around me that I can kind of carry with me wherever I go, and I can do my rituals. So even just like having a cup of coffee when I wake up in the morning, or being able to have my laptop or my phone and like do yoga from the same yoga channel. I mean, both of us are fans of yoga with Adrian, right? And she like,
especially
like,
with a cup of coffee next
to yoga. Exactly. Yoga, cup of coffee, and obviously for me as well, meditation, which is something that I can do like literally anywhere pretty much. So those rituals are super important. And then there are other things. I mean, like I have like silly little soft toys that I take with me that fit in my bag. And as long as I've kind of got my coffee, my meditation, my phone, my laptop, and an internet connection of some kind, and my little silly soft toys, I'm pretty much like good. I can pretty much go anywhere and I'm going to feel fine.
On that note, I've got these slippers that look like clogs that my partner Rod got me many years ago. kept me feeling cozy and at home through winter, but I still, because they fit nicely in my suitcase, because we only travel, move around with, I say only, but because this is our what we carry around long term, and it's like one rucksack and a big suitcase each, but they kind of slot nicely into my suitcase, and just straight away I can be like, oh, I'm at home with my clog slippers on.
Totally. And I think it is, again, it's kind of goes to the heart of
what you might think of as a contradiction, same as what I was talking about before about being sort of extroverted and introverted. Yeah. Oh my God, there's a massive roll of thunder. Can you hear that? What is going on with the weather here? Oh my gosh. Yeah, as soon as I can, I'm going to be getting on a plane to sunnier climates. But yeah, just like the heart of the contradictions of and getting to know yourself as you travel. Because on the one hand, yeah, I love the fact that most of what I need to feel at home can be fitted into a rucksack. I love that. It makes me feel free and liberated and like I can go anywhere and be okay wherever I am. But then I also love being at home and feeling cozy and having my stuff around me. So it really is a balance. And I think that is what's so important. Like, what do you need? And there's no right or wrong answer.
And when you're able to answer that for yourself, then you can create that right environment. Because I guess I didn't talk about, I prefer being as minimalist as possible. Especially moving around, you don't want to we don't want to carry too much when we're traveling. But even things like I say, I like hiking, so I've got my hiking shoes, but I've deliberately got ones where I like running as well, so they're like hybrid ones. But my partner's quite a techie as well, and there's a few things we'll admit that we carry around. Like we've got a couple of years back, we've got a portable projector because sometimes we're not in a place where there's a TV. So we can, you know, we still like, yes, we're traveling around, but we still like having nights in watching a movie. So
yeah,
that covers that basis. And things like even for work, like laptop stands and things like that, just things to make our environment more comfortable. Because we still, as exciting as digital nomad life is and sounds, we still, you know, we still like creature comforts, we still like quiet nights in amongst all the exploring. Yeah, there's all these homely things that, yeah, you still want along the way. You might not necessarily always have them, but if you can have them, great.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like backpacking out of one rucksack and never having your stuff around you
in hostels from your laptop in a hostel bunk bed.
Totally. Yeah, totally. So I literally have two more questions for you. And one of them is, what do you think might be next for you? Because I know that one of your mantras is we plan to have no plans. But if COVID does improve, which we all pray and fingers crossed that it will, do you have anything that ideally you'd love to do next? Are you staying in Bulgaria even if you don't have to? Like, what's the plan? Do you have one?
So we have, as we always do, even when I was planning to leave London and I had a couple of plans of to see which one I wanted to go. So there's a couple of things I'd like to do, one of them being a surprise one because of the pandemic. So one thing I wanted to do, as I said, myself and my partner wanted to slow down. So there was we've had discussions about having a semi part-time base that was part of slowing down. Again, we didn't know where, so potentially maybe Bulgaria could be that part-time base because we love it anyway. We're always coming back. It's cheap and cheerful and we've gotten to know the area more, so we've seen potential potential options of how that might be if that was an option. So in terms of what my future might look like, it could be that we have a part-time base somewhere, maybe Bulgaria, and then we'll hop around. So I guess to answer a bigger question is I don't see us stopping being nomads, but maybe it'll be more a case of part-time nomading, and maybe it'll be a base in the UK if and when we get back there again. but yeah, maybe a part-time countryside base somewhere that we can hop around for. But something else that we would love to do, and again maybe when things are safer and if it's possible, if we manage to get our hands on one, is a lot of my projects and things I want to do always include my partner, obviously.
Yeah.
Something else we've always wanted to do is do a van conversion and go on a van adventure. So part of us is thinking if we could get something here or in East Europe or Germany, these other places that we seem to hear advice on where to go, even if it's a case of all we have is put insulation on the inside and throw a mattress in and then drive from Bulgaria to the UK. Maybe that's how we get to the UK.
Yes.
So that might be on the cards let's see what Brexit looks like in the new year as well. So there's all these things that we don't know what that will mean in terms of if we bought a car in Europe and we've got a UK driver's license. So I mean, I'm used to living with uncertainty, so this is bringing a whole new level of uncertainty.
I know, right? It's like, yeah, there's uncertainty and then there's uncertainty. I mean, like,
yeah,
you know, like COVID and Brexit. Between COVID and Brexit, we have absolutely no idea what's going on. So yeah,
we're being really pushed to the limits right now and coming up. But so those are a couple of things that we hope to do that feel likely. But for the rest of the year, staying in Bulgaria and exploring Bulgaria is probably most likely where you'll find me and see in my Instagram feed. And Mona, and hopefully towards the end of the year, early next year, we'll be traveling by a half converted van to the UK.
Oh my god, I love it. I always describe myself as completely obsessed with van life, even though I don't have a van. And I just think I also harbor secret or not so secret dreams of just one day somehow getting a van. I don't really know how or when, but I love that idea. I just think,
but the vision is there.
Freedom, yeah, such freedom. But then I'm completely the same as you. I kind of love your answer because I, like I say, I love being at home. I love my home, and my partner and I are moving house this year. And like, you know, I would be lying if I said that my home was not important to me, but let's make it a part-time thing. Like, let's also try, as long as COVID allows, to explore as well. Like, let's have a part-time base. And what a brilliant idea. I love that.
Exactly. Because there's no right way to be a digital nomad. It doesn't have to be full-time. I mean, I know some of there's people talk about full-time and part-time. I mean, even if it's a few months a year on your own at home, like to me, if you're able to work remotely and you're moving around different places, you're a digital nomad. Even if it's for a few months a year, it doesn't have to be full time.
100%. Well, I've got so many more questions that I could ask you because I just think that it's fascinating, especially at this point when everything's going on. But unfortunately, I'm conscious of time. So you mentioned that people will be able to find you in Bulgaria, but if they're not able to get to Bulgaria, where can people find you online? Where's the best place to come and say hi to Becky and also to get more involved with Project Anywhere and read your blog and understand how to maybe start thinking about doing this kind of work if they want? Where can they find you?
So I'm active on Instagram. My profile is at projectanywhere.co. Quite handily, the website I write about being a digital nomad and freelancing a lot on is also www.projectanywhere.co. But I always say my virtual doors are always open. I'm always happy to answer questions, chat about these opportunities. Because if I didn't have others helping me along the way either, I don't know if I would have found it. So not that everything's a bit tricky, but I had help along the way, and I want to pay that forward as well. So yeah, find me online, find me on Instagram. Feel free to send me a DM or send me an email. But otherwise, you'll be able to follow my adventures online there. And I'm always sharing tips as well, because if you just want to see tips there to follow along and see stories of dogs that we're looking after in Bansko.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We've brought it back full circle to the dogs. It's amazing. I love it. Brilliant.
About the dogs. Yeah. If anyone wants to talk about house sitting as well, feel free to send me a message.
There's so many different ways to get started. I mean, even though so many of us are not able to travel right now, you know, there's never been, ironically, a more perfect time to work remotely either. So it's kind of all coming together really nicely. So yay, I'll put all of those links to your website and to your Instagram page in the show notes so people can go and find you. Thank you so much for your time today, Becky. It's been a real joy to connect again with you and to hear how it's all going despite all of the crazy upheaval that we've been going through recently. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you too. Thanks for having me. I had a really fun chat. Thanks, Hannah.
If you enjoyed this podcast, the best way to support it is to hit subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen so that many other like-minded women just like you and me can discover it and share the word. I'd also absolutely love it if you could let me know what your favorite takeaway was from this week's episode. Come and tag me on Instagram at @breathelikeabadass. You can take a screenshot of the podcast episode that you're listening to, or just come and drop me a DM, because let's be honest, I'm on Instagram pretty much every single day, and I would absolutely love to hear from you.
Thank you so much for listening. As I say, the best way that you could continue to support podcasts like this and incredible women in business, just like the ones that I interview on this show, is to hit subscribe, leave a review, and share. In the meantime, thank you again, and I cannot wait to see you back here for next week's episode. Just remember, breathe like the badass you are, and you won't go far wrong.